So from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. So how did Jonah, son of Amittai, end up inside a fish? In chapter 1, Jonah was tasked by God to go to the great city of Nineveh of Assyria to preach against it. He was asked to bring a prophet's message to them, to give them an opportunity for the Ninevites, a great enemy of the Israelite people, to help change their hearts towards God. But this makes Jonah angry. And in a not so subtle move of disobedience, Jonah runs away from what the Lord has asked him to do and heads in the opposite direction. Now, scholars debate where Tarshish might be. Some say Spain, some say Africa and other places. But whether or not we can locate it, we know that Tarshish is a great place to go and get away from God for Jonah. While travelling by boat to Tarshish, God sends a storm. The sailors do everything they can to survive the rough seas, but to no avail. The sailors discover the storm is from the God who made the sea, and Jonah is the reason. Jonah admits he's to blame and tells the sailors to throw him into the sea. The sailors resist the idea, but eventually they agree to throw Jonah into the sea, and the waves become calm. The sailors see it, and they worship God. And Jonah is miraculously swallowed up then by a huge fish, which God sends, and is in its belly for 3 days and three nights. And this is the context Jonah prays to God. Now, this is the first time Jonah speaks to God in this book. God speaks to Jonah to go to his enemies, but Jonah avoids doing what God wants. This prayer captures the essence of what Jonah says to God. It's in the form of a psalm with four movements: a call, a crisis, rescue, and praise. A call, verses 1 to 2, a crisis, 3 to 6, rescue, 6 to 8, and praise, 9 to 10. At the beginning of each one, at each movement, we'll hear a part of Jonah's prayer, and I will share a reflection on it. We'll sing, pray, and finally we'll share in the Lord's Supper and sing as part of our praise, as part of that final movement. So our service from now will follow, in a sense, this prayer that Jonah prayed. The aim of the service like this is to journey with Jonah's prayer to help us reflect and worship God.
From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry."
There is nowhere that God can't hear us when we call. There's an acknowledgement from Jonah that God is able to hear a person's cry for help, even in the deepest place. Last week, Conrad noted the downward descent of Jonah, down from Joppa, down into the boat, down into the deep, and into the fish. Escape from God is both downward and in the opposite direction. Jonah fled from God. However, the irony is that there is nowhere anyone can go where God cannot reach or hear us. It's a common fear that I think all of us have, is to be alone with no one to hear or help us, whether that be in a cave, alone in the wilderness, or in the middle of the ocean, or even in the midst of people. Situations where we feel isolated, alone, and powerless. But Jonah's prayer removes the illusion or deception that we can ever truly be alone. God is always near. God is always in earshot. God listens to both those who are running away and those who stay. God listens to those in distress and he hears them. God listens to those who have not prayed before, like the sailors who witnessed the sea calm and worshipped God. God listens to those who do not even know his name. God listens with grace, whether we deserve to be heard or not. What verse 2 clearly expresses, and indeed the whole of Jonah's prayer, is that when we call out, God will answer and listen to our cry.
You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever.
Jonah knew that God listens when we call. But what happens when God calls and we do not listen? How can God get our attention if our ears are covered and our eyes are blind, when we're blindly running in the opposite direction? Jonah now sings out his crisis point when he's thrown from the boat and into the frighteningly rough sea. He uses verbs which capture his turmoil, both literal and internal, as he enters the chaos. You hurled me into the depths, the very heart of the seas. Currents swirled about me. Breakers swept over me. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. This language is so vivid and emotive. It captures the swirling motion of the sea. And if you've ever been dunked by a wave and been felt that disorientation when our life is turned upside down. It's been noted by many that Jonah blames God for his watery predicament. It's the language of, you hurled me into the depths. And verse 4, I said, I have been banished from your sight. Jonah blames God for the very things that Jonah brought on himself. But was it really God that ran away? Was it really God that banished Jonah? Was it really God that hurled Jonah into the depths? However, and whatever Jonah might say, the crisis is of his own doing. Jonah's disrupted sleep and fishy situation all began when he decided to disobey God. I see in Jonah's crisis someone still coming to terms with God, and his heart is protesting fiercely at what God is asking him to do. A twin crisis presents for Jonah. The first is the danger of being lost at sea and digested by a fish. The second is the danger of Jonah living his remaining breath still in disobedience to God. Given the first is not in his control, we see him respond to the second danger. Jonah has the option of continuing to ignore God with his remaining breath, or he could begin to re-engage with God. Thankfully, he takes the latter. In verse 4, I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Jonah re-engages with God in his time of crisis after God extends his mercy in the form of a fish. I wonder what kind of crisis you have entered into recently. I wonder if you've currently experiencing a time of swirling and being engulfed by real threats and spiritual soul searching. A time of anger, perhaps, against God, of choosing to be silent, of ignoring or becoming numb to what God wants in your life. But like Jonah, I wonder whether this crisis you're going through is an opportunity for you to cry out to God. A crisis to prompt to break your silence to God, to stop running, to face God, to begin to express to him your anger or grief to the Lord of the heavens and earth.
But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them.
A crisis reveals where we put our trust. It reveals where our hope is placed. But Jonah finally surrendered to God. He took responsibility for disobeying God and was willing to be sacrificed in order that the crew might live. Now, some might say that Jonah didn't repent. There's no sign of his changed heart here in this prayer. But repentance does not always get expressed by words, or only by words. Repentance or a changed heart is expressed in action. Jonah is thrown into the water, and here, through prayer, he expresses trust in God. And we see in the next chapter that he obeys God's instructions to preach to the Ninevites. Now, we know that at the end of the book, we get an insight into Jonah's heart. Jonah is still furious with what God is asking him to do. But I believe Jonah's prayer and change of direction show he is willing to at least reluctantly obey God. The provision of the fish and the warning of the storm was God's act of grace and love to Jonah. Jonah had turned away from God, but God had saved Jonah. Jonah prays in verse 8, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them." Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Jonah affirms God's power and love in this moment of salvation. The crew of the ship each cried to their own God, but these gods did not answer nor have the power to save. If we look around today in our modern world, people put their trust in all manner of things. The right leader to champion their cause, maybe their own skills to handle the situation, the right knowledge, being educated at the best school, the right life partner, the best lawyer to defend them, the best technology or science to solve sickness or poverty. But as good as they can be, these can be idols if we place all our hope and trust in them. The crew realized this and finally cried out to God of the heavens and the earth to save. And we know from Jonah's prayer that he too cried out to God to save. And God answered and saved him. Verse 8 is such a great verse. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. It's so good because it distills down what happens when people chase after those things that have captured their hearts and minds. Those who put their trust in the things of the world to save will miss out on God's love for them and his salvation. If the crew had continued to cry out to their gods, if Jonah had continued to cling to his own pride and self-righteousness, then they may not have been a story to tell. Rescue is only possible with God's power, and this is an act of God's grace and his love to us.